always on the spot. Who is Yogi Bear? Who keeps cool when things are hot? Who does Yogi Bear? Who believes the world they dream and falls for some fantastic scheme but always winds up on the beam? Yogi Bear!
Hello and welcome to the 41st episode of TuneCast, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I am your host, TFG1 Mike, and I am joined once again by Kevin, Professor Boss K-Dog Thompson. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I am doing pretty good.
Yes. Today we are going to be continuing to the Hanna-Barbera Spotlight with Yogi Bear. So what have you been up to recently?
I got a few odds and ends projects around the house that I've been working on. Had a little problem with my garage door and a couple other doors, so I was fixing them and making sure they all open and close and lock and do all kinds of normal stuff that you like doors to do. And other than that, like I mentioned in one of the other episodes, I've become obsessed with top 10 lists. The latest ones I've been working on is like stuff like top 10... like cartoon dogs, top 10 cartoon cats, and stuff like that. So I don't know. It's a fun little hobby I got going on, I guess.
So the top ten cartoon cats would consist of Lion-O, Tigra, Chitara, Panthro, Snarfer.
Not lions and tigers, cats.
But they're still cats though. They're cat-like.
It would consist of things like Heathcliff and Garfield and Sylvester and stuff like that.
You know you want to put Chitara on one of those lists. Don't lie.
I wanted to put Lion-O on it, but I
better admit. I've just been doing the regular podcasting stuff. Found some more Robot Heroes at Big Lots. We're recording this one actually a little bit early. We're actually recording this February 21st, it probably won't air until March sometime, but we decided to go to Big Lots when they had one of those stupid four-hour events, Friends and Family event or Doorbuster event, and oh my god, what a friggin' nightmare. Well, I was going there to get two more of the DVD shelves that I already have in the bedroom, because I'm going to put them out here in the living room on the other two nightstands that I have out here in the living room, which is what those are for. They're for the DVD shelves. Well, they had it for display, but they didn't have any actually in stock. Bastards. Yeah. So I just gandered over at the toy aisle, because for some odd reason, Transformers Robot Heroes show up everywhere in Big Lots, so I got a whole bunch of ones that I didn't have so far. So I've been doing that. Recorded episode 4 of the Beast Unleashed podcast. That's going fairly well. Not much else is really going on.
I saw a Facebook post about nerd news.
Yeah, I'm now an official podcasting co-host of the This Week in Geek crew, and one of their news show is called the Nerd News Network. So been doing that. Yes. You also saw and commented on a Facebook post where I was it was on FX or TBS or one of them damn stations. It was Armageddon, which in my own personal opinion is one of, but not included to any of the other great Bruce Willis films, but it is one of his best films, I think. And you're like, oh, what about Bandits? Who the fuck gives a crap about fucking Bandits? You listed Bandits, a bunch of other films. Nobody gives a fuck about Bandits.
Bandits was an underrated film.
It needs to stay underrated too.
Great. Not as great as Die Hard, of course, but
well, all right, no, but. I'm saying, what I was saying was not just generally just a Bruce Willis film. I think it's, honestly, it's probably the only Michael Bay film that I can actually watch over and over and over again and not get tired of it. Or like every time I see it on TV, I'm like, oh, hey, Armageddon, and I'll stop and I'll watch it all the way through from whatever point I catch it from. But anyway, and somebody replied to me on Twitter about that, oh, Deep Impact was better. No, Deep Impact was a friggin' copycat of Armageddon. What are they just? What are they using that? An asteroid or a meteorite or something or other?
I can't get on board with that one.
No. Deep Impact sucked. Don't get me wrong. Morgan Freeman's a great actor. That movie though, it sucked. I've actually been finding some very interesting audio clips for these next couple of episodes for TuneCast. I don't know if you watch, or you used to, when it used to play on Cartoon Network and on Boomerang, I don't know if you ever watched Yogi on the actual TV channel, but Cartoon Network does these things called Cartoon Groovies. And they'll take some cover band or whatever type band and they'll make a song out of the cartoon show or the cartoon character. Or they'll have them in like little skits. Like there's a little mini episode of Quick Draw called City Escape. I'm going to include those probably as outros. Because honestly, there really isn't any differentiating outro music between the intro of some of the Hanna-Barbera cartoons and the outro.
Right.
For a lot of it, so. We, actually, for this episode, we are going to take a break. You are going to hear that cartoon grooving, and we will be back with the history lesson. Back and it is time for the history lesson. Take it away.
All right, for today's history lesson, we're getting in a time machine and going back almost 50 years, 1961, for the second show in our spotlight on Hanna-Barbera. Although Huckleberry Hound was Hanna-Barbera's first made-for-TV cartoon show, Yogi Bear definitely stole the show. Starting out as one of the three segments on Huckleberry Hound, Yogi soon earned its own show and became arguably one of the most popular Hanna-Barbera shows in history. The show lasted only a total of two seasons and contained 35 episodes, but it would resurface in various, many multiple incarnations for the remainder of the century. All right, that's it for the quick history lesson. What do you remember about Yogi Bear?
You know, again, going back to the whole, you know, I remember watching these in syndication in the 80s thing. I actually remember a lot of Yogi's appearances more than the actual show, and I remember a lot of his made-for-TV or made-for-cartoon movies, like Yogi Bear and the Spruce Goose, or the Yogi Yahooies team from Scooby-Doo's Laugh Olympics, you know, stuff like that. I did watch a couple episodes on YouTube just to refresh my memory. I wish I could have gotten the complete series DVD set in time for this episode. That just didn't happen. But yeah, overall, really great cartoon. It's pretty much the same plot every episode. Of course, we'll get to that once we get down to the plot of the show. But I really, you know, I can't find anything wrong with it, I don't think.
Yeah, thinking back, you know, I mentioned in last week's episode on Huckleberry Hound how, you know, I had an older brother and sister, so, you know, I got exposed to a lot of cartoons early on in the 80s through them. But out of all the old shows like this, other than Scooby-Doo, I probably have more memories or a better recollection of Yogi Bear than any other, you know, cartoon that was from the 60s or 70s. I should say other than Flintstones and Scooby-Doo. But I remember Yogi Bear a lot, and I don't remember if it was, you know, the specials or if it was the actual cartoon. I want to say it was usually the actual cartoon that I must have been watching, because I remember him being pretty short segments and stuff like that. It was one of the first cartoons I saw that, you know, had these short six, seven, 8 minute clips. But I love this show. Actually watching a few episodes, like you said, on YouTube this week to refresh my memory, I may like it more now than I did then. Which really says something to how well it's held up and why it's been around for, you know, half a century. But actually watching a few episodes on YouTube and refreshing my memory has probably inspired me to actually go out and find and get the DVD set at some point, because this show, before, you know, I think a lot of people mistakenly think that it was the 90s and the 2000s where cartoons really started to try to appeal to both kids and adults. But no. I mean, I realize that most of the 80s cartoons might have just been trying to appeal to kids, and you didn't have a lot of references to try to bring the adults in like you had later on with Animaniacs or, you know, stuff like that, or, you know, obviously some of the more primetime cartoon shows. But these Hanna-Barbera shows, especially Yogi Bear, have a lot of dialogue in it that appeals to adults, maybe even more so than kids. And I don't know, I just think it really holds up. And like you said, I can't seem to find anything bad to say. I mean, maybe once I watch all the cartoons on the complete DVD set, I'll find some things that I can nitpick about. But watching a few episodes on YouTube, I can't find anything wrong with Yogi Bear.
Yeah, you know, the thing about these old cartoons is it's not like, say, Superman the Animated Series or Justice League or, hell, even Transformers or G.I. Joe or Thundercats or whatever. You know, these older cartoons, like we said, are basically 7-minute segments with, you know, with each cartoon being 7 minutes. There really was no continuity type of they weren't setting out to set up a story of, hey, here's Yogi Bear, here's his introduction, and we're going to go on this journey of him trying to escape Jellystone Park. Now, granted, that was for the majority in the beginning, because I did find the very, very first episode of Yogi on YouTube, and surprisingly enough, Ranger Smith was not in the first episode. It was just a generic park ranger.
Right.
You know, and it was one of those things where, you know, it's, while in the first episode, while the premise was Yogi to escape the park, the outcome comes to be that, and, you know, the show's 50 years old, so there's no reason to say spoilers, but turns out that hunting season just started, so he ends up getting out, he ends up finally escaping, and he ends up getting shot in the ass at the end. But there isn't like an overall continuity between episodes, and it was more of episodic television or episodic cartooning back then than it was setting up a whole storyline. Now, granted, you have the later specials and movies, like I said, the Spruce Goose, and a whole bunch of other stuff or was it, I'm trying to think if it was a, no, it wasn't the Spruce Goose, it was Yogi Bear and the Spruce Moose, that's what it was, because Spruce Goose was the actual term of the airplane, but they made theirs the Spruce Moose, that's what it was.
It's all coming back to you now.
Yeah.
In a Celine Dion voice.
No. No.
I have all the actual specials in front of me. I'm just going to run down a list just so you're all aware of what the names of them are. But we had Yogi and the Invasion of the Space Bears. Actually, this one says Yogi and the Magical Flight of the Spruce Goose.
That's what it was.
And then it has Yogi Bear's All-Star Comedy Christmas Caper, Yogi's Ark Lark, Yogi's First Christmas, Yogi's Great Escape, Yogi the Easter Bear were the ones that were made for TV specials.
Right, yep.
And those were airing basically 1988, 1982, 1972, 1980, and 1987, and then the last one was 94. So that kind of is another testament to how this, even though it was only on 1961 and 62, 63 season, basically, those two seasons, I mean, it's been showing up in the 70s, 80s, 90s. It just keeps getting reinvented and, you know, redone or reintroduced to future generation after future generation.
Right.
There's, you know, there's a couple, and I think that's one thing that's in my mind when I, you know, since this is general memories, when I try to think back to old cartoons, you know, there's, even though there was a ton of old cartoons and there's a ton of good ones like all the ones we'll be talking about here in the Hanna-Barbera spotlight, Yogi Bear is the thing, and it really comes to mind before any of the, you know, it stands out compared to even the other Hanna-Barbera cartoons. When you think old cartoons, you think of Yogi Bear, you think of Scooby-Doo, you think of Jetsons, you think of Flintstones. You know, those are the, in my mind, those are some of the main ones that come to my mind, you know, not getting into, obviously, Looney Tunes and all their variety of things, but Yogi Bear's just, it's an iconic character.
Yes.
More so than Huckleberry Hound, even more so than, you know, the ones we'll be talking about. You know, everybody knows who Yogi Bear is, I hope.
Yeah, everybody should. The thing about, you know, all these characters, they eventually team them all up. Like I said, in Scooby-Doo Laugh Olympics, in the Spruce Goose, you know, so I really remember a lot of the Hanna-Barbera characters as being all together in like one or two of those specials. Go ahead.
In Spruce Goose, I mean, just taking that one for example, you had Yogi Bear, Quick Draw McGraw, Snagglepuss, Huckleberry Hound, Augie Doggy, obviously Boo Boo, you know, Mumbly. You had a whole lot.
It's not Mumbly, it's Muttley.
Well, Mumbly was in there too.
Oh, okay, yeah, that was the alternate version of Muttley. Okay. You also had, I think Augie Daddy was in there too, wasn't he?
Doggy Daddy and Augie Doggy.
Yeah, Doggy Daddy, that's what it was, and Augie Doggy, yeah. I always liked those two. Those two were kind of cool.
Yeah, and that was kind of a standard for most of the specials, like his All-Star Comedy Christmas Caper.
Yeah.
You had all those guys. You had Hokey Wolf, Snooper Blabber, Mr. Jinx, Wally Gator, Pixie Dixie. I mean, you had a ton of people in that one. So, you know, it was kind of good every once in a while, especially Hanna-Barbera did it more than any other company, where they just put all of their, you know, their all-star cast together, and it's something that's kind of cool to see. I would actually be interested in looking up some of these TV specials, and even, like you said, Laugh Olympics or Wacky Races, or I think there was a couple called Hanna-Barbera's The Fantastic World of Hanna-Barbera or something like that, just to see some of these guys, you know, interact together again.
Yeah, I could have sworn Laugh Olympics was on DVD. If it isn't already, it's coming. I know it is. I could have sworn I saw a list for it.
That's one thing that's good about the Scooby-Doo ones is they're so popular that every Scooby-Doo thing has almost come out on DVD.
Yeah. What else do we want to say about it?
I think that's, you know, I just remember it more than I do remember most old shows as far as Hanna-Barbera goes, like I said, with the exception of Flintstones, Scooby-Doo. It just stands out, and I just, you know, he had great catchphrases, great lines, which we'll get into a little bit when we get into his character, but, you know, there was so much stuff about Yogi Bear that just made it a little bit more memorable than, you know, if you could only watch one of the shows that we have in our spotlight and judge Hanna-Barbera on it, it would have to be Yogi Bear, in my opinion. I mean,
oh, yeah.
It's just it's the best out of the spotlight shows that we're talking about, in my opinion.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you're right. Let's see. I'm actually looking.
First of all, what'd you say? We gotta stop this right now. I'm tired of agreeing with you.
Shut up. I'm actually trying to find. One of the reasons why I've been a little bit quiet is because I'm trying to find information on the Laugh Olympics.
You keep doing that. While you're doing that, do you mind if I go in to talk about some of the characters?
That's fine.
Okay, well, he's looking up that information because I'm actually interested in that information. I'll give you a rundown. Obviously, it's easy in these Hanna-Barbera shows to talk about characters because there's not really a lot of them. And, you know, most of the characters are just one-time shots or, you know, you never see them again. But there's basically four main recurring characters in the Yogi Bear cartoons. Obviously, Yogi Bear, who, if you don't know, is a fictional grizzly bear. We'll get more into his specifics in a little bit. The second character is basically his sidekick, which is Boo Boo Bear, which is an anthropomorphic bear cub in a bow tie of uncertain relationship to Yogi Bear and often acts as his conscience. He tries, usually unsuccessfully, to keep Yogi from doing things he should not do, and also to keep Yogi from getting into trouble with another character that we're going to talk about in a second. Often he would say, "But Yogi, Mr. Ranger isn't going to like this," or some variation. It is not readily apparent whether Boo Boo is a juvenile bear with a precocious intellect or simply an adult bear who is short of stature, but he is basically Yogi's sidekick.
Can anybody say Webster?
And then we have Cindy Bear, the third bear to appear, basically. And Cindy Bear is the girlfriend of Yogi Bear. She speaks with her pronounced southern accent, carries a parasol, and usually is critical of things Yogi is doing, like most girlfriends are. And then the fourth main character, obviously, is Ranger Smith. Ranger Smith, a former U.S. Army soldier, he is the serious and stern authority figure in Jellystone Park, in contrast to the antics of the troublesome Yogi, and he greatly disapproves of Yogi's picnic basket thievery. I always think of the man in the yellow hat when I think of Ranger Smith for some reason, from Curious George.
Yeah.
But basically, those are the four main characters. Obviously, you have lots of different side characters that come and go. And there's not really bad guys in Yogi Bear, per se. I mean, there might be some opposing characters from time to time, but you wouldn't necessarily label them as bad, in my opinion. So those are the four main characters. Yogi Bear, when I was a kid, I liked Boo Boo and Yogi. I don't know which one I liked more. I think it depended on the cartoon. Sometimes I liked Boo Boo better. Sometimes I liked Yogi better. I think I liked Boo Boo. I liked Boo Boo's name better. I liked Boo Boo's short stature. I liked his voice. I liked, he was usually the one that you could side with, as far as he was the one that was doing the right thing, whereas Yogi Bear kind of spoke to your rebellious side or to your, you know, goof-off jokester side that everybody has inside of them. I just kind of shifted back and forth between which character I liked better. Did you have a preference in one of those four characters?
It depended, really. It depended on, like, I remember an episode of Yogi where he's trying to get one up on the Ranger as far as raiding the Ranger's refrigerator, and Ranger Smith would get him back by doing the exact same thing to Yogi. And of course, they always made it look like, "Oh, well, that's no fun, Mr. Ranger, sir." And they, so, you know, I like all of the characters, honestly. There were a couple of, in the later episodes, there were a couple of these side Rangers that I really didn't care about. But yeah, before we go any further, I did find Scooby's All-Star Laugh Olympics Volume 1 DVD. It's a one-disc set. It came out on the 19th of January.
Ah.
So, yes. Yes, it's on Amazon for $9.99.
I know.
Oops, that's the wrong thing. Damn it. Well, what surprises me, though, about Laugh Olympics is it doesn't, on the Wikipedia article for it, it doesn't say anything about, it just says in 96, four VHS editions of the show were released. The first four episodes released on DVD, the first four episodes released on DVD on January 19, 2010, in Scooby's All-Star Laugh Olympics Volume 1. Target released an exclusive second volume with the next four episodes on the same day. If only it's four episodes per disc, it's almost not even worth it.
Yeah, well, it's only $9.99, though.
True.
That's not too bad.
Nope. No, I really didn't have a problem with a lot of the characters in Yogi whatsoever.
I like Boo Boo and at times Yogi the best, but I didn't really dislike any of the characters. Even Razor Smith I didn't dislike. Just going into, since there's no really bad characters, the voice cast, I'll just talk about Cindy Bear and I'll let you talk about the other two. But Cindy Bear was actually done by Julie Bennett, who's actually, the reason I want to talk about her is she actually is in my top 10 female voice actors of the olden days here. She did, Shelfwood did a character that we'll talk about in next week's episode. In Quick Draw McGraw, she was in Mr. Magoo, she was in Cadney the Cat, she was actually in Huckleberry, a cartoon called Huckleberry Finn, she was in Rocky and Bullwinkle, Bugs Bunny, Popeye, Ghostbusters, Orbit. A couple that you might appreciate, she was Aunt May Parker in one of the older versions of Spider-Man. I don't remember what year that was, 1960s or something like that.
That was probably the 1967 Spider-Man cartoon, the one that had Dan Gilvezan as Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think that sounded familiar to me. And she was also in, I can't find it right now, but she was also in Superman. Who did she play in Superman? Okay, here it is. She was Lois Lane in Superman in 1967. And she was Aunt May Parker actually in Spider-Man in 1987 or 1997.
I have no idea actually.
So it's kind of interesting that she's appeared in both Spider-Man and Superman much, you know, later on, but she also appeared in Huckleberry, Quick Draw McGraw, and obviously as Cindy Bear and Yogi Bear. Her most popular character though, it's probably this one, Cindy Bear, as far as her most famous voices she's done. But she was also, what did I say, Popeye and Orbots and Ghostbusters. So she's been in a lot of stuff. She's very famous back in the day, and not as famous as our two male voice actors in this show, though.
Yeah, much like I'm 2001 Voices Frank Welker. These guys, Dawes Butler and Don Messick, again, were another one of, you know, voice acting's greats, and it's a damn shame that they are no longer with us. Dawes played Yogi until 1988, and then Greg Burson took over as Yogi after 88, and Messick played Boo Boo and Ranger Smith. You know, it's funny, I cannot tell a difference between Boo Boo and Scooby-Doo. Seriously, I shouldn't say I can't tell the difference, but I don't see any similarities is what I'm basically getting at.
Oh, okay.
They are two completely different voices that Messick did. And it's right. Like... holy crap. Yeah, it's kind of... well, it kind of makes me think, you know, I've seen some of Frank Welker's interviews and stuff, so I know what his real voice is like. However, if you haven't seen any of his interviews or anything like that, and you've just heard him do characters, it's like, holy crap, which one is closest to his actual voice?
Right.
You know, same thing with Messick. Holy crap, which, you know, is Ranger Smith more of how he, how his real voice is, or is Boo Boo, or is, you know, Scooby, or, you know, whoever else he did.
Right. But those two, that's what makes those two so good, Butler and Messick, and that's why they're, in my opinion, they're two of the three best voice actors from that era, with Mel Blanc, obviously. But yeah, Messick and Butler, and that's the thing, like, when you were watching those shows as a kid, when you were watching Huckleberry Hound and Yogi Bear and Quick Draw McGraw and, you know, whatever it was, Scooby-Doo, this or that, you didn't have a clue you were, that was the same person doing all those voices. Nobody did.
Oh, no.
No kid can pick that out there. Oh, my gosh. It's not quite like, okay, like, even as a kid, I knew Starscream and Cobra Commander were the same damn person. Like, there was no fooling me, even as, like, a 6 or 10, you know, year old. Well, 10, I was already over by the time I was 10, but, you know, a 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old kid, I knew that's the same voice, that's the same guy, and it's, you know, same with a lot of the characters like Casey Kasem does, like, okay, that's Casey Kasem, I know that, I recognize the voice. Even as a kid, you know, since I listened to some of the other stuff he did, like, when he was actually in a real person, like, radio stuff, Countdown, Saved by the Bell, whatever it was that he appeared in, you know, I knew all of his voices, but Don Messick, Dodge Butler, like, Mel Blanc, you can't tell the different characters that, you know, I could line up characters in front of you and say which one of those three actors did those characters, and unless you, you know, knew beforehand, you wouldn't be able to pick them out.
Yeah, exactly.
But just a great voice cast. When you have three of the, at the time, three of the greatest voice actors all in this show, one of the females and two of the males, I mean, you couldn't go wrong, and to make it better, they actually had great lines to use those voices for, which we'll get into here in a little bit.
Yeah. So getting into the behind-the-scenes segment here, when Hanna-Barbera pitched their 1958 show, The Huckleberry Hound Show, it included three segments. The first was Huckleberry Hound, second was Pixie and Dixie, and the third was simply referred to as Two Itinerant Bears, which was to be decided on later. Previous ideas for names included Yo-Yo Bear and Huckleberry Bear. The name they finally decided on was obviously Yogi Bear, which did land them in some legal troubles after the great Yankee Yogi Berra went to his lawyers about the name.
I would like to just jump in here for a second, though, because
a lot of
so-called know-it-alls or cartoon historians and a lot of websites out there have misinformation about this. They did not name the show after Yogi Berra. That's not where they came up with Yogi Bear. I know it sounds almost identical, and he was, you know, a Yankee at the time, but they did not name the show after him. And that's why he lost his case.
Yeah.
Or eventually didn't win anything out of it, because it wasn't named after him. But Yo-Yo Bear or Huckleberry Bear, you know, it seems like it's easy in retrospect to say Yogi Bear was the right choice, but...
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting that originally when they pitched that show, they didn't even really have a name for this segment, or they hadn't even thought out this segment yet. They had Huckleberry Hound and Pixie and Dixie, and then it's just like, oh, we're just going to have some other third segment, going to have some bears and that, whatever, you know.
And I think that's why in the very beginning that there was no specific ranger. There was no Ranger Smith. It was just some random park ranger, because they weren't sure what they were going to do with it.
Yeah, it's just funny that the show that they weren't even considering, that they put no time into, is eventually going to be the most successful segment on the show and the most popular, you know. It's just ironic.
The show was planned to debut in the fall of 1961, but when UPA and Kellogg's split, Mr. Magoo went with UPA, which left space for Yogi Bear to debut in January instead. And as far as the directors, writers, stuff, of course you got Hanna and Barbera, all 33 episodes, Michael Maltese for 18, Warren Foster for 17, and Tony Benedict for 7.
And you'll recognize, if you listen to last week's episode, I believe the Foster and Washington were the guys that they basically took from Warner Brothers.
Yep.
And brought them along to help out, so... Going into the actual show, since at the time, like we know, no 30-minute cartoons had been established. Like the Huckleberry Hound show, the Yogi Bear, when it became its own show, consisted of three different 7-minute cartoons. This time, though, the three segments consisted of, obviously, Yogi Bear, and then Snagglepuss was the second segment, and the third segment was a character named Yappy Doodle. Many believe Yogi Bear to contain the best animation and background design ever for Hanna-Barbera outside of the Flintstones. As far as the feel of the show, they decided to test out different styles in early episodes. So if you're watching early episodes, you might notice that a lot of different styles are used. They were trying to see which one would get the best audience reaction. This accounts for the variety of different portrayals of Yogi early on, including at one point he was portrayed as a Good Samaritan, or a goofy little fumbler. You know, he had these different personas. But, like we know, the persona that got the best response was, of course, the picnic basket piece. And the series was marked by its deadpan humor and great dialogue.
Yeah, I actually like Yaki. Yaki always was really a cool character for me. They basically took the... This is just me just guesstimating, but they basically took the Yaki Doodle character out of Looney Tunes, or out of another, it might not have been Hanna-Barbera or Warner Brothers. It was MGM. There was a duck in a couple of the Tom and Jerry cartoons. I believe that was also Yaki, so I'm not really for sure if that duck actually had a name, but they took that whole idea from that, and then they created Yaki Doodle.
I did not know that.
Yes. Plot of most of Yogi's cartoons centered on his antics in fictional Jellystone Park, a takeoff of the famous Yellowstone National Park. Yogi, accompanied by his constant companion Boo Boo, would often try to steal picnic baskets from campers in the park, much to displeasure of Park Ranger Smith. His girlfriend Cindy Bear sometimes appeared and usually disapproved of Yogi's antics. Besides often speaking in rhyme, Yogi Bear is well known for a variety of different catchphrases, including his pet name for picnic baskets as Picnic Baskets, and his favorite self-promotion, I'm smarter than the average bear. Although he often overestimates his own cleverness, another trademark of his is the deep and silly voice that he uses, often greets the ranger with a cordial, "Hello, Mr. Ranger, sir." He also likes to say, "Hey there, Boo-Boo," as his preferred greeting to his humble sidekick, Boo-Boo.
Hey there, Boo-Boo.
Hey, Boo-Boo.
This last part that you just said, that tells me, or that to me, that's why this show is so great. Number one, I love that he spoke in rhyme. You know, sometimes when people do that, it becomes cheesy or hokey or whatever, but I really like
it. Hey, really?
Yeah, I love how it was done in this one. And his catchphrases, I mean, come on. Tell me someone who hasn't said, "I'm smarter than the average bear," or referenced that in some way during their life. I mean, that's
there's so many references for this show, yeah.
I mean, besides, like, That's All Folks from, you know, Bugs Bunny or Looney Tunes and, you know, a couple other ones, "I'm smarter than the average bear" has got to be one of the most classic lines that came out of cartoons of this era. And I just loved Yogi Bear's voice. I loved the way he said, you know, "Hey there, Boo-Boo," or, you know, when he's talking to Mr. Ranger, or, you know, just all, I don't know, his dialogue they gave him. I don't think it's a mistake when, you know, the reference said that this cartoon is marked by its fantastic dialogue. It has great dialogue. I was watching an episode just a little bit ago. Are you all right there in the background? Or are you dying?
Yeah, no, I'm not dying yet.
Okay, I was watching an episode, and the episode that comes to mind that I last watched was basically there was a Boy Scout grouping or get-together type thing where all the dads and their Boy Scouts were coming. It was like a father and son Boy Scout whatever you want to call it. And Yogi sees that all these fathers and their kids are going to be there, and of course they're all going to have food and they're going to have, you know, picnic baskets and whatnot. So his idea is for him to be the father and for Boo to be the son, and then to basically pose as Boy Scouts until the right time where they could steal food, and it involves, you know, trying to do a sack race with Boo Boo in the sack and all this other stuff. But there's some great dialogue. I don't know the specific lines, but at one point it's talking about, it shows all the fathers, and Yogi Bear makes some type of comment about the fathers being miserable, but the way he brings it across, it was like perfect for the adult audience, because it was kind of like hearkening to what life, how life changes once you get married and have kids, and how, like, you know, basically you're miserable at times, or, you know, you lose some of that freedom or that fun, you know, carefree style of life. And I just thought, you know, the way that they delivered some of these lines was fantastic, and it's something that the kids wouldn't even have noticed at the time.
Right.
So, and another part of that episode, he got a lunch at one point that had, like, olives or vegetables on it, and he, like, spits them out, or he's like, what is this? And he's like, I don't eat olives or something like that. I thought that was great that it was a cartoon show that was this non, like, healthy food and vegetables.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point of Yogi, is he wants all the goodies, all the junk food and all that stuff. You know, he even always says, when Ranger said, well, bears aren't supposed to eat that stuff, they're supposed to eat nuts and berries. He goes, nuts and berries, yuck. You know, and that's what made the show so great, I think. Are we done with this part?
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many great episodes. I don't have necessarily one to recommend that you go watch, but that's one reason why I want to get the DVD set and watch kind of all of them, to see which ones really stand out as some of the best Yogi Bear episodes, because I don't know, I'm excited to actually watch more of this, because every episode I saw or watched in preparation for this was just excellent.
Yeah. Well, you can always do some voice compares over there at BehindTheVoiceActors.com.
Actually, once I get my computer back online and I'm back online, I'm going to actually use most of the shows we've done as, like, my first project of getting stuff done on there, because the one thing that our website lacks right now is, like, some of this old-time stuff, and I would really like to see. There's been more than, you know, a couple people that have voiced Yogi Bear, and I think it'd be interesting to get some of these shows a little more fleshed out.
Well, you know, according to the wiki information, like I said before, Yogi obviously was voiced by Dawes Butler, and then after he passed away, Greg Burson did it. So, and that was in 88.
I think there's been a couple one-time spots or somebody that's done it for a special or for this or that. Maybe I could be wrong. I can't remember which character I was thinking about, but there's a couple of these old-time characters that have been, since they've been around for so long and they've done so many different things, where there's been quite a few different voice actors, and I think it would be interesting to see some of them, because obviously we just remember the classic one.
Right.
You know, whichever one stuck in our mind when we were a kid, that's who the voice is, and we might not even be aware of what these other voices sound like, so... Yeah, that's one thing that I'm looking forward to tackling later on, hopefully. Well, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yes. I don't really remember, going into the music segment, outside of the intro-outro theme, I don't think a lot of the Hanna-Barbera cartoons were based around music.
No, I think they had music sometimes playing in the background, like especially during, like, chase scenes, or at least they used...
Yeah, I think the only Hanna-Barbera cartoon that was kind of based off, had a lot of music, you know, even in the foreground, was Scooby. The rest of it, at least for Yogi, I mean, I don't remember a lot of music in Yogi's cartoons.
No, it's not quite as... The Hanna-Barbera cartoons aren't marked with music as you would think of when you think of, like, the, like, Looney Tunes, obviously the Merry Melodies and stuff like that, you know, that's cartoons that had music going basically nonstop. This one, it was more like little notes here and there, or, you know, different, like, it was music for a purpose. It wasn't music as background, like, mood setting type stuff. It was more like music that emphasized different actions during the cartoon, as far as what I can remember.
Yeah, that's really all I can remember either, so... Going into the legacy segment, and I need to point out, there's one reference in here that I deleted off my script, because I am not giving that bastard or his fucking show any kind of coverage. Exactly. You bastard, you shouldn't have put it on here. Anyways, the Yogi Bear Show was simply the beginning of a franchise that has endured for almost 50 years. It is a number of spin-offs, including Yogi's Gang, Yogi's Space Race, Yogi's Treasure Hunt, Yo-Yogi, and a variety of different TV specials. It also spawned the first ever Hanna-Barbera theatrical cartoon feature entitled Hey There, It's Yogi Bear in 1964. Do you want to handle the next little piece?
Yeah. Since we usually reference our friends over at IGN, I hope they never hear this and get pissed off, but actually I don't care. Our friends over at IGN, morons that they are, with their list of the top 100 animated cartoons, yeah, Yogi Bear, not on the list. Not on the list, folks. Yogi Bear, one of the most famous cartoon characters of all time, did not make the list.
Damn.
Enough said.
Ridiculous. Yeah, going into some of the reference where it's referenced in, it was referenced in Bye Bye Birdie. There was a record visible in a room of one of Kim's friends. It was referenced on Saturday Night Live. Steve Martin, Van Morrison, looks at books. Great Outdoors. Chet talk about seeing Boo Boo up close. It was referenced in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Mystery Science Theater 3000. Married with Children, Yogi Bear and Jellystone National Park are mentioned. The Simpsons, Day of the Violence Died. The show is mentioned by name. Freakazoid, The Nanny, Everybody Loves Raymond, Dr. Doolittle 2, Sesame Street, Three Bears and a New Baby. Who's that one? What the hell? Oh, Jesus Christ. Sylvester Stallone, Kiss My Ass. It was referenced in Rocky Balboa. Rocky uses the phrase, smarter than an average bear, but can't remember where he heard it, and it was Yogi's signature. Oh, God, you fuck you, Sly. A Muppet's Christmas, Letters to Santa, Bobo, or Boo Boo. I was going to say, wow, Bobo. It's Boo Boo refers to Fozzie as Yogi. I'm not mentioning that other one. It was featured in 100 Greatest Cartoons in 2005. Was spoofed in Family Guy, Hell Comes to Quahog. Peter did a favor for a park ranger. Robot Chicken, President Evil. Yogi starts acting like Rambo. Oh, God.
I can't believe the next one here, but... I don't even know if I can say it, but next up for Yogi Bear, this is ridiculous, folks. I hope it's not ridiculous, actually. I hope it's all right. I can't even read it. I'll let you read it.
Next for Yogi Bear, in October 2008, it was announced that Warner Brothers will film a live-action / animated film similar to Fox and... Alvin and Chipmunks. It will star Dan Aykroyd. It will star Dan Aykroyd as the voice of Yogi. Okay, that could be okay. I would have to hear Mr. Aykroyd's rendition of it. Justin Timberlake as the voice of Boo Boo Bear. Kill me now. What the fuck?
Justin Timberlake is I gotta give him credit because he's one of the smartest individuals alive because he hasn't put out a CD in like a decade and yet he pops up everywhere and keeps making money. But one name I will mention, Christine Taylor, who you might remember from Hey Dude, a great 80s and 90s TV show, as the voice of Cindy Bear. But yeah.
Yeah, no.
I actually liked, I'm not afraid to admit this, even as a almost 30-year-old guy.
Oh, shut up, 30-year-old guy. What the hell ever? You got 2 years left, you dumb bastard.
Oh, not quite. A year and a half or so. But Bagdasarian, Ross Bagdasarian, he's the famous voice of all the chipmunks.
Yeah.
Alvin and the Chipmunks, I actually liked that movie. I haven't seen the sequel to it. But I actually saw it on TV at some point. I don't remember why or what, but I got sucked into that. And I actually watched the entire show. I don't know if it's just because I love their voices, but I actually liked how they did Alvin and the Chipmunks. So maybe if Yogi Bear is done in a similar fashion, maybe I like that too. I don't know.
But see that would defeat the purpose of what Wiki has listed as what the film is supposed to be. Live action and animated film. While the Chipmunks are their animatics... it's more CGI than actual animation. I mean, right. if you're going to do a live action animated film, it would be more in line with Roger Rabbit than it would be Alvin and the Chipmunks. But if you're going to do a CGI Yogi Bear film, then it would be in line with Alvin and the Chipmunks. But what I'm saying no to is this whole thing. Well, again, I'm not going to say anything against Aykroyd, because until I hear the voice, you know. But Jesus Christ, fucking Justin, goddamn Timberlake, what the hell?
Maybe he'll do a good job. Gotta give him a chance.
Christ, hell no. Hell, I would much rather Frank Welker come up with a voice than have. And I'm not saying anything against Mr. Welker, I'm just saying, please give us somebody better than fucking goddamn Justin Timberlake. There are video games. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's like 9 video games based on Yogi, ranging from the Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Super NES, the Amiga, Commodore 64, and Intellivision. Holy crap.
I have an Intellivision still and a Commodore 64, so that's awesome.
You're so pathetic.
Video game platforms.
You are so pathetic. As far as licensing,
I have a Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, and GameCube, but whatever.
I have a Nintendo and Super Nintendo, but I don't go as far back as Intellivision. As far as licensing, Yogi Bear lends his name to a chain of recreational vehicle and camping parks, Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, with the first opening in 1969 in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. Oh, only in the cheese state. As of 2008, over 70 new locations, including Robert, Louisiana, Van Buren, Missouri, and Gardner, New York, have hosted parks. There is also one remaining restaurant from the chain bearing Yogi's name, Yogi Bear's Honey Fried Chicken. Oh, dear Lord, what the hell? In Hartsville, South Carolina, in the 60s and 70s, these restaurant chains were found mostly within the southeast United States and were owned or franchised by Hardee's. Oh, no wonder, that's why. There's only one left. fucking Hardee's. On November 15th, 2005, Warner Home Video released the complete series on DVD in Region 1. Yogi Bear Show, the complete series. 33 episodes. Wait, wasn't there 35 episodes total?
I thought so.
Well, maybe they're missing two, I don't know. The additional features that include are a collectible animation cell, original episodes with bridges and bumpers, never-before-seen animation sketches come to life, Yogi Gets Global, one episode in a variety of languages, featurette on the art of Hanna-Barbera sound. That's pretty much it. You know, like I said, I think it's really great that Yogi's on DVD. I wish that a lot of the other stuff, like the Spruce Goose and all that stuff, was on DVD. That would be kind of cool.
Agreed.
I think that they could have done some, like, I mean, I know it's just the Yogi Bear Show that's the complete series of, but if you're going to do a complete Yogi set, you should at least include some of the specials or something, even if you're going to do it as a bonus disc or something like that.
Yeah. Maybe they'll do it again when it's, like, up for whatever. Well, isn't next year its 50th anniversary?
Crap. 61, 2011, yeah, something like that. Hell,
maybe
I don't.
We'll see something special come out next year for 50 years of Yogi.
I don't do math well. Math is evil and it needs to die. So I guess we can go into our final thoughts.
My final thoughts on this one are pretty simple. I mean, if you've never seen a Yogi Bear episode, you need to go to the nearest computer at your earliest convenience and watch an episode. It's worth it. It's something that holds up. You know, people that talk about old cartoons always say that nothing, you know, stands up to the test of time, or they're all outdated or whatever. But I enjoyed Yogi Bear last week or this week more than I did when I was a kid, I think. And I think it's just, you don't see dialogue in cartoons like this anymore. You don't see writers that take the care and time to write stuff like was written back then, because remember, they couldn't rely on the animation selling it. They had to rely on the actual story, the lines, the voice acting, and all that stuff. And it just doesn't get better than Yogi Bear back then. I mean, I'd probably put it up in the top five cartoons that came out before 1980.
Yeah.
It is what it is, and that's good. It's good. It's worth a watch.
Yes, I agree. You know, Yogi is one of those shows where if an episode comes on or if I need to watch something to make me laugh, Yogi is probably what I would search out. More so rather than the Snorks or the Smurfs or any of that stuff. So I guess we are going to close this one out. Thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. There are several ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. First, you should visit www.geekcastradio.com and find the other GCRN podcasts there. The second is you can stop by productandempire.com/nexus. Those are our forums. Third is you can leave the show feedback in iTunes. Please do this. We now have a voicemail line. Call us and leave us your thoughts on each episode. Be sure to say what show you're leaving the message for and your name. The number is 502-526-5821. You can follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GCRN Tooncast. Mine is TFGO and Mike, and what is your Twitter?
Boss K-Dog.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast, which you'll join us next time. We'll be continuing the Hanna-Barbera Spotlight with Quick Draw McGraw. Good old Baba Louie. For now, I am TFGO and Mike with...
Professor Magnum P.I.
God damn, boy. Oh, Jesus. And the immortal words of Optimus Prime, transform and roll out, and thank you for listening. Until next time. Higgins is going to kick your ass.
Goodbye.